Yeah, I can remember just like it was yesterday. Playing in the field with my little cornhusker doll, feeling free, or what I thought to be free. But by the time I was 5 years old, I know what it was to clean up somebody else's house and for to take care of somebody else's child. I was born around 1820 or 1821. I don't rightly know because it didn't keep no records of slaves' births or deaths in those days. If you was black or a slave, when you're born, you're just born, and when you're dead, you're just dead. Found myself in the land of slavery on the eastern shores of Maryland, right outside of Cambridge, near a little town called Bucktown. Bucktown had about 11 buildings in it. That included the store, the cookhouse, and the church, too. Oh, it was a pretty country, and I would have been happy to live there if I was free. The plantation where I lived on, owned by a man named Edward Brodas, lay on the shores of the Choptank River not far from the Chesapeake Bay. We used to always go fishing for terrapin or trout over there. After a good rain, the soil was so rich them worms would just come a-bubbling up out of it. The smell of honeysuckle hung heavy in the air in the springtime. Orchards brimming with fruit for the plucking, but not for the eating if you was a slave. Edward Brodas and his family lived in what we used to call the big house. Had a big old wide porch around it, lots of rooms in it, cause the plantation was so far back up in the woods, when folks did come to visit, they would stay 2 or 3 weeks. Only the house slaves was allowed inside the big house. About 10 feet behind the big house was the cookhouse. Now this here was where my mama Rita and my sister Mary worked. Scattered about the fields was barns and stables for the cows and the riding horses. Now out of sight of the big house, but not out of hearing, was the miserable brood of shanties where the colored folks was made to live like animals. Lord, them old weather-beaten shanties hung on somehow through the rain and the sleet and the snow. Sometimes the wind would come racing down that chimney, spewing soot and smoke all over everything. Chinks were so wide in the walls you could see 50 feet out, letting that wind come in there, blistering us with his icy breath. We had to huddle close together to keep warm. There was only one door, no windows, and a dirt floor. Oh, I didn't mind the dirt flow so much, cause I likes to feel a dirt between my toes. Keep me close to the land from which my Lord made me and where I knows I got to go back to one day. Scattered about the floor was piles of dirty rags and straw for us to sleep on. But that old house was filled with the love of God. My mama Rit and my daddy Ben Ross was his name. My mama was a green. They fussed over us and pampered us every night when we'd come in from another long day of working for them white folks, the people that owned us. Now my mama Rit used to tell me, like she used to tell all my brothers and sisters, I had 10 of them. She said, "You know you got to love everybody if and you want to see Jesus," she said. Now, my mama knew that Bible like the back of her hand. She couldn't read or write, but she learned them scriptures every time she ever heard them read, and she passed that on to us. She told us that we had one master, and he was in heaven and on our side. She said, "Now, hats, when it rains on everybody, the colored folks and the white folks. And when the sun shines, it shines on everybody. Now, you ain't gonna get to heaven if you got any hate in your heart, 'cause God loves all us, and that's just the way it is. She taught us how to talk to the Lord when we's happy, and how to talk to him when we was sad, and how to wait on his word, 'cause he never let you down. Armed with this, I growed up with no fear of no man in my heart, of no guns, no bloodhounds, no patrollers, 'cause I knowed I had the master, the only master on my side. See, the Lord had blessed me with something. See, I could tell that something just was not right. I could tell that them black folks was just making life easier for everybody else, and I knowed that the Lord did not mean for it to be like that. I knowed I was not gonna be there too much longer, a working and a thirsting under that hot blazing sun. Nah, sir. See, I could tell that black skin meant lifting a heavy load in that master's fields. Working every day when you're sick and hurting, I know that one day I was going to be free, like them birds that fly them treetops each day. That like a mighty wind that just can't stop blowing, I was going to be free too. 'Cause the Lord's eye was on the sparrow, and I knowed he watched over me. You know, Ma Rich said that when I was born, there was such a big fuss over what they called that Missouri Compromise. That's right, the Missouri Compromise. Now, out of this came the Mason-Dixon line. Everything on the north side of that line was all free country, where a man, any man, could work and make livings, have what they call free labor in their factories and things. Now on the other side, the south side, a colored man didn't have no rights. It was all slave country. She said there was a war going on, and everybody was a-talking about that crazy young white man up there called John Brown. That John Brown. I didn't know it then, but this man would be a great one I would come to work with in the struggle for freedom. That John Brown was a-killing up his own people to keep slavery out of Kansas even then. Seemed like them southern plantation owners wanted to get that land and plant more cotton, more tobacco that just choked the life out the land. While the northern abolitionists, the people that was against slavery, wanted to keep it a free state so they could have that free labor. Even then, the rumblings of freedom was in the air. She told us about Denmark B. said, and about Gabriel Prosser, how Gabe was fighting for his freedom in 1800. That was way before I was born. African slaves were still brought to this country in chains as late as 1808. Marit said some of our own folks has told on Prosser and Vesa, tried to stop them from doing what they was doing. Well, the Lord kept sending me these dreams of freedom, kept having these dreams of flying till I got to this here big fence. And on the other side of that fence, there was these good white ladies standing there with blankets and food waiting for me on the other side of freedom. But just as I'd get to that fence, I'd always wake up. When 1832 came, things really got bad. Fighting for freedom, Nat Turner had killed up 60 white folks and destroyed property there in Virginia. Word came down from the big house that we couldn't talk to each other no more. Couldn't gather at night no more, not even for our funerals. We had to have our funerals at night, 'cause the daylight hours long to work from sun up to sundown. We had to sing everything from then on. So we learned how to talk to each other using the words of the Lord. Now, I likes to sing. Oh, yeah, child. They used to call out for me to raise a singing hymn in the fields all the time. Now, this here is my favorite one of my favorite hymns.
Sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Sweet low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
When I was 16 years old, something happened to me that changed my life. It was the Lord getting me ready for my riding life. It was corn husking time, and Massa Broadhouse invited all the plantation owners from miles around to come to his plantation with their slaves for the shucking of the corn. See, all the slaves was herded in the barn while all the slave owners and they lady folks sat out around drinking tea and talking, enjoying the moonlight and the stars. Well, we was all in there just a-wookin' and a-shookin' when my eyes caught sight of one of Jim Barry's slaves over there in the corner. That boy was acting just as giddy as a pony. I darting back and forth like he was just biding his time. And sure enough, as soon as that overseer turned his back, that man shot out the door and headed straight for the store in the fork of the road. The overseer missed him and ran out behind him. Well, I ran out after him too, because I wanted to see what was going to happen. When I seen him run in the store, I said, Lord, what'd he do that for? Because ain't but one way in there and one way out. He got to come back by that overseer. When the overseer saw that I was finding him, he said, grab him, Hats, grab him. I could have grabbed him and held him, too, because the Lord blessed me with a strength that would allow me to whoop three men with my hand tied behind my back even I wanted to. But I didn't grab him. Instead, I jumped between him and that overseer, and I said, he's going to be free. That overseer got so mad, he picked up a 2-pound weight and he flung it through the air. That weight hit me in the head. And I don't remember much else except the smell of boiling roots and the pressure of a hot poultice being put on my head. I woke up to my mama's whispering chants as she prayed to the Lord to bring her child from the death angel's door. When I opened my eyes, there was such a rejoicing. My mama cried and praised the Lord and thanked him for bringing her child through. Then she told me, she said, Hats, all your brothers and sisters been gathered round here praying for you. All the slaves been through here to look at you, cause we thought you was gone. She said, they is all proud of your Hats. Now you done gone and got yourself a badge of courage. You something, girl, you something. I remember smiling to myself and drifting on off to sleep. Seemed like I was having these here sleeping spells more and more as I growed stronger and stronger. Master Brodos kept on bringing them slave bars in there to try to sell me. But that old weed had put a ugly hole in my head just a gaping. Master Brodos said, well, she's a good worker if she heals up. A troublemaker, though, got to get rid of her. But no one would buy me. I commenced to pray to the Lord. I said, Lord, convert old Master Brodos' heart, Lord. Don't let him sell me down south to die under a hot blazing sun in them cotton fields and rice paddies. Oh, Lord, convert old Master Brodos' heart. Master Brodos kept on bringing them peoples in there to try to sell me. So I changed my prayer. I said, Lord, if you ain't gonna never convert old Master Brodos' heart, then kill him, Lord. Kill him and take him out of the way. 2 months later, Master Brodos got real bad sick. 3 days after that, Master Brodos died. Oh, mercy. When word came down from the big house, that thing really got a wee with me, because I thought I had something to do with his death. I cried out to the Lord for forgiveness, and I prayed and prayed, seemed like all the time from then on. Even when I went to the host trough to draw water, I prayed out loud to the Lord, Lord, clean me, because I don't want to see nobody leave this earth for their time. I cried for my own soul's salvation. And then came another one. I never forget the day when old Doc Thompson came riding up in our lives. Master Brodos had left his plantation to his son, but he soon died. Always was a sick little mite. Course, Miss Susan was just a wife, and she couldn't own no property. Couldn't no women own no property in those days. Women didn't have no rights. So Doc Thompson was the new boss, the new master. But by this time, I had started working in the fields again. Shoot, I was out in the field with my daddy, chopping that wood and hauling it in. My arms growed strong and hard as rock. My eyes was bloodshot and my eyelids hung heavy from no sleep. But I was happy, 'cause I was out in the open, in the air, close to the land. One day I got up enough nerve to ask Doc Thompson for a piece of land I could work to try to buy my freedom. He gave me the land. I worked that land, plowed it, dug up them roots, sold my seeds, and took my crops to town. Got myself right smarty piece of change, too. Doc Thompson told me he would give me my freedom if I could raise $200. Now, you know, in them days, that was a lot of money, so I started working hard every day to raise that $200.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Glory.